I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skransky.
Here.
Please rise and join with me in a pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am.
Sure, I can speak just a second. Barbara Rourke, 8527 Willow Point Parkway. And I just wanted to let you know of an upcoming concert we have at the library. We have Mia and Ari coming next Wednesday, February 27th. I know you have school board that night, but maybe you can duck away for a little bit. And they have reached as high as 12th on the folk singers billboard charts. So we're excited to have them, and they're actually from Boston. So starting at 6:30 at the library.
Thank you for everything you do, Barbara. World's greatest librarian. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? She is the greatest librarian in the world. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? If not, close the citizens' comment period and turn to the regular meeting minutes of February 5th, 2013.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I know we have a grant that's listed number one, but we also have some very special guests with us tonight. And if there's no objection, I'd like to move to the concept review, item two. We do have the superintendent of Franklin Public Schools and his administrative staff here tonight. And they have some very interesting things to show us under a concept review. So, Mr. Deedle, you want to introduce us and bring forward whoever needs to come forward that's going to make the presentation?
I'll get out of the way shortly, so if you want to break somebody up. As Mayor Nord, this is a concept review. School districts and their applicants, the consultants, are proposing expansion of this high school, Franklin High School, southeast corner of Rexport and 51st. They want to add an auditorium, some classrooms. They are expanding their parking lot. The ball fields that are currently located in the southwest corner of their property, practice fields will be moved to the northeast corner of their property. The parking lot expansion will be about doubling the size of the parking lot. Those are the primary components of what they're proposing to do. There will be an architectural change for the entire facade of the building as well as part of this environmental expansion. The zone institutional schools are permitted use within that zoning classification, so it would be only a site plan review by the Planning Commission. So whatever comments the Common Council has, not only will they be going to the consultants of the school district, we'll be forwarding all those comments to the Planning Commission. The only thing I can mention is that we did have a development review team meeting, which is with all the departments that were reviewing this project, and they have provided some preliminary comments for it.
Is there slides or are there any overheads? Or
I believe they had a flash drive with some graphics in it. We're
working on it. Okay. How about if you want to take the plans out so the Alderman and myself have the plans, but the public does not, and there's nothing up on the screens, so it's difficult for them to follow. It can take a minute. Maybe you could introduce this gentleman to your left, Mr. Elon.
Sure, I can. Bob Weigert from Epstein UN Architects. I'm the lead project architect. I lead our public studio at Epstein UN Architects. And I can give you a little bit of background on the project if you want while we're working
on
pulling up those PDFs. So, again, the site that we're working on is about a 77-acre site. And as you know, it's bordered by 51st Street to the west and Drexel to the north, residential areas to the south and also to the east. The topography is very interesting. If you stand on the corner of Drexel and 51st and look southeast, there's about a 60-foot rise in grade from the corner of the site here all the way to the where I was going to go. If you want to start with the images, those site images first, that would be great. Let's see. So we talked a little bit about the project itself. There are classroom additions. There's an auditorium, a PAC addition. And with that, there is athletic fields that are being moved for parking relocation and addition to the site. There's interior renovation happening in the building as well. The total building square foot is 285,000 square feet. That's existing. Again, it's a high school. It serves grades 9 through 12. And currently, the population of the school is 1439. The academic addition that we're adding on will allow capacity up to 1850 for academic space. Do you want to go to the site plan real quick? Sure. So again, Drexel is to the north here, 51st Street. And then if you want to go to the other PDF, it zooms in a little bit further as well. So we've got the residential area to the east and a residential area to the south. So this one just brings it in a little bit closer. And what I'll do is I'll talk a little bit about where the additions are going, and then I'll show you the actual plans. So the high school currently is here. The front entrance is approximately in this area. And what we're looking at doing is adding the academic addition in this green space and the PAC in this green space, essentially. The two football fields that we talked about currently exist here. We're looking at expanding the parking in this area. And those athletic fields would go approximately in this area. I believe this is about the southern boundary of where they would go.
Soccer and football?
There's actually two football practice fields in that area right here now, and that's what's being replaced. So we're basically, it's a one-for-one trade-off. We just have to find a spot for them. Do you want to go to the other? Actual plan there. Yep, there you go. So putting that in context then, that green space that we looked at, this is the academic addition. It's a two-story addition. And this is the PAC addition. The existing parking is approximately this area, so you can see how much we're adding. The front main entrance off of 51st Street essentially stays in the same location, although there is some reconfiguration happening on the site. So here you can see those athletic fields, where those are going in. Again, that was the approximate area that I had shown before as far as moving to the south.
Are those lighted or non-lighted?
Non-lighted. Again, those are practice fields. Going to go to the next. Yep, perfect. So just in general terms, the floor plan, again, showing where the additions go. This is the existing entrance to the high school. This is that academic addition and the PAC. You can start to see a little bit of the renovation. I didn't necessarily pull that out. Really, the renovation and the interior is geared for 21st century learning. What that means is providing educational spaces that support the way students and teachers teach today as compared to how they used to teach 50 years ago or even as little as 10 years ago. Next. This is the second floor. So again, we've got a two-story classroom addition. And then obviously with the auditorium space, that auditorium house is taller. And then we do have a full fly, which is right here as well. So as we looked at the design, the district had a few drivers, and I want to go through those real quick. So we talked about transformation of the building, both from an interior and an exterior condition. An interior from a 21st century learning environment scenario, so setting up the building internally for 21st century learning, and also having a transformation on the outside of the building as well. Kind of a visual connection, if you will, between the exterior and the interior. We wanted to have the Performing Arts Center be a focal point for the community and for the district. We wanted the design to be unique for Franklin. In other words, we didn't want to just have something that, that could be anywhere in any particular district. It wanted to belong to Franklin. Again, we talked about the 21st century learning environment, so the interior is a little bit more flexible. Sustainability was an issue that we've talked about, and we are incorporating sustainable design into the project as well as materials that are durable. So the parking, again, kind of just hitting back on that real quick, we currently have around 370 stalls on site, and we are looking at approximately 748, plus or minus, depending on how everything kind of shakes out.
Are those the actual colors?
We actually haven't selected any materials as of yet. So to put this in context...
Jumped ahead of me. I was going to ask you if that's brick.
Sure. So to put it in context, the front entry currently is right here. And if you remember in the plan previous, the addition is built out in front of that. So basically we're pulling the front entrance out a little bit further than it currently is. It's kind of recessed back, if you can think of where that is. It's going to be more in line with the existing, I'll call it front plane, that projects furthest to the west. So that's at that point. The two-story academic piece is this. The auditorium entrance and pre-function space, so the space where people would gather before and after a performance, is this area here. The fly space you can see in this image right here. And then the back area that we're showing, it's actually the front, but the last piece, are music classrooms, so band, orchestra, choir. So as far as materials go, the kind of bluish that you see is glass. So the entrance to the high school is glass. We have a space up above that entrance as well. It's kind of a gathering space for students. Different functions can happen up there as well. And then, like I said, this is that academic space. We also have the main administrative offices in that area as well. Moving to the south, again, this is that main entrance, that main gathering space for the auditorium. So material, this is we're proposing a metal panel type material here. And we've got brick down below. Again, we haven't selected what color that is yet. If you can think about the existing building, especially that northern part, again, kind of where you walk into the building, it's a very dark chocolate brown brick. We're not necessarily proposing that same brick everywhere, although we are looking at using that so it does complement what we've got from an architectural standpoint. And you can see that here, although it gets a little washed out, but you can see that. That's that facade right here. We'll keep going here. So we've got brick, glass. Again, kind of a metal panel that would match this. There's some brick down below and then brick above and then another metal panel material at that front entrance. If you want to go to the next image. So this is an image, actually, if you were on 51st Street, not quite at the corner of Drexel, up a little bit, perhaps by the drive, the northern drive, if you were standing on the sidewalk looking up, that's the image that you would see. So again, looking at the front entrance, you can kind of start to pick out the doors here. Again, the metal panel, the blue color represents the glass. The metal panel and the brown again starts to represent a brick material. Look at the next image. This is a little bit closer and a little bit up higher. It's more of a bird's eye view, if you will. You can see that the gray area that we're showing here would be the sidewalk, and we're proposing perhaps a little bit different traffic flow than we currently have. We want to try and separate the parent drop-off and pick-up from the bus. We're still maintaining that main entrance that we talked about that's currently there in the central portion of the site. So the area that we're showing here, kind of that white area, if you will, is really a drive. I'll call it a drive. The idea is that we would have our buses parked in the front area and that parents would be looping through this area and dropping off over here. You can see that there is quite a grade difference between the floor elevation and where that parking lot is now. And actually, if you go out to the site and you stand in that existing parking lot, you'll see quite a bit of grade. If you think back to that first image that I showed you, with the grass and where that auditorium addition is going, it projects out quite a bit. It's about a 4-foot grade drop by the time we get to the front of that addition. So what we're proposing is to create more or less a plaza, if you will, out in the front of that area. Again, it could be used for pre-function if there's something happening at the auditorium and they wanted to have an event or part of that event actually happen outside. They could do that in that plaza area. Next.
How'd you have that? If you go back. Now, the auditorium is where?
Right here. So this is the entrance into the auditorium.
Okay. And that is, I guess my question is going to be, it's more concerning security, but how many entrances are you going to have for the building?
Total?
Yeah. Is there going to be one central access point or several? Or?
Yeah, there's one main entrance. Typically, I mean, we've got to have multiple doors to meet egress, obviously, so there's a lot of doors around the building. As far as security goes, though, once school starts in the morning, basically the building is locked down. These become the main doors, and you can't get in the building until you're buzzed in. Once you're in the vestibule, the doors in front of you are locked.
Okay.
You have to go into the office to check in, and then you basically walk kind of around, if you will, those vestibule doors into a... There'll be another door then on the other side that lets you.
So it's kind of based on the best practices for security systems.
Correct, right. That's a design that has been in play for, I don't know, 10 years maybe.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is I know that there was a joint review meeting. I was in another meeting, and I know the superintendent was in that one. Police chief, fire chief were in that meeting. They've all gone through this, and they've got the plans, and they know how to get people in and out, and
times of emergencies.
They were all the questions were asked. Are they okay with these plans? Or?
I believe so. I don't know what the detailed comments were.
There were a few comments related to the buses out front, and we talked about what would happen if the fire trucks needed to get in there. The Siamese connection, the fire department connection, currently is in a location that we're putting up the addition, so that needs to be moved. We talked a little bit on the site plan. It didn't show up in what we submitted, but there's a walk, a pedestrian sidewalk that's going to connect up at 51st Street and walk up to the building as well. I think those were...
I think those were the main
comments that we had.
Yeah, because I mean, you're going to be adding space. I mean, on any given night, it's going to be a considerable amount of individuals. I said night, actually, it could be any day, it could be weekends where school is going on and there's events going on in the Performing Arts Center as well. Alderman Olson.
Thank you. Since we're talking about doors, I look at the auditorium and egress from the auditorium for how many seats?
Approximately 850.
850 going through essentially two double doors to get out of the building. You know, I raise that as a big issue. Perhaps somebody overlooked it, but immediate egress from the auditorium is two double doors.
Well, there's actually four.
The other one's going into the building.
Right.
But if there's a fire, you want out.
Well, there are.
Through a building.
Right. We do have fire walls that we have to create as part of this addition. So we do have, and these are exit doors here. There are exit doors that go out the east, southeast corner of the building as well.
Go
back to
Mark. One slide forward. No. A couple of slides.
Right, so this is the main entrance.
Yeah, that's it for exterior doors.
And then this is also an exit corridor out this way.
We got Cudahy's fire chief here. I would not be comfortable personally going into that.
Well, that was part of the questions with the fire chief and the police chief. That's why we have these joint review boards. And I'd like to get a report back from both chiefs on what they're saying. And then the last piece was just like the Indian Community School or the the school over on 51st Street. I was going to ask you about is there an access for emergency vehicles around the school, an access point? And if so, is that hard surface or is it? So?
I believe that the back of the building, the north side and the back of the building, the east side, will remain essentially as is. There is access back there, currently hard surface access. They'll have, again, this new entrance by the main doors in the auditorium. The fire department will be able to access that side too. I believe there's trucking in supplies and stuff that'll be coming into the building on the south side.
Right. We'll take a look at that egress just to make sure we're okay. Obviously, we need to meet code requirements.
Yeah.
Related to...
I would personally hope in a facility like this, you exceed the fire. And I know it blows the exterior design. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, I'm worried about getting out.
Sure.
And there's a fire.
Related to site access, so this... The pavement that you see here, that's existing. We are relocating the drive that currently is to the south because of the addition. But this, again, is all existing. They do not connect up here. There's quite a grade difference between this area and here. I believe it's at least 12 or 13 feet.
Yeah, and just so you know, I've sat down with the superintendent. I've sat down with the planning manager. Walk through many of these things. Many of my questions are for the public, so that the public knows that we're, you know, the alderman and myself are paying due diligence to this. Obviously, we've worked on many projects with your firm, and know it's a quality firm. But just like Alderman Olson said, you know, for fire suppression systems, given that it's a school, we took some heat from the Indian Community School because we really insisted that they put the best fire suppression systems and best precautions in place. But we did so because we're our concern for the children and the people of the facility. So I want to, you know, really impress upon you that's a big concern. And then, you know, the other thing is, and I'm sure you'll hear this from the alderman, is with recent events in the last few years, you know, we're very concerned. While we understand that the school district has total jurisdiction for the safety of the children and the people on their premises, we also have to have our emergency personnel go into those facilities. And hopefully we never have a situation. But if we do, we need to make sure that it's going to be the best facility that can be put in place given, you know, the Colton buying situations and the Sandy Hook situations. So you may have to bear with us a little bit tonight. Probably one of the most important things this proposal is that's hit the city in maybe the last 10 years. I mean, this is the centerpiece of the community. Go to the football games and the basketball games and the will now be going to the PAC events, and so this is going to be the center of our community. So we want to make sure that we ask as many questions as we can, and so please have some patience with
sure,
us tonight.
Absolutely.
Alderman Schmidt.
Well, first off, I'd like to offer my condolences to the administration for the loss of the longtime autos inspector whose funeral was held this morning. I brought their staff for a long time, and I know the students respected them. So, sad day for the school. I have some interest in looking at the additional parking out in the front there. When I look at the driving through that terrain, I don't know, is this going to be kind of like terraced, or is there going to be some filling of the lagoon or something to expand things, and what the storm sewer runoff is going to be, how that's all going to be incorporated into this. And also with the apparently the drive will continue to be the same, but we can still, I always been concerned that it's such a bottleneck there, and now we're going to have more car spaces and more people parking there. Is that bottleneck going to be relieved at all, or expanded or anything?
Sure. So I talked about the main entrance basically staying the same. One thing that we talked about at our development review was to also potentially have an entrance at the south part of the site here, potentially just the right in. And I've been to the site in the morning as well trying to get in. Everyone coming from the south heading north basically backs up traffic that wants to pull in. So the idea would be having those people turn in earlier, which would allow then the people heading south to turn in earlier as well, so you don't get that backup. So I think we've got some solutions. It doesn't show up here. That was a meeting that we had last week, and I don't have that. Wasn't submitted, or that wasn't picked up on the submittal that we had sent in. So I think that'll help that piece. As far as the stormwater management, there's a couple of things that we're looking at. One potential idea, the pond at this point, we're not showing any work, doing any work with it. We are potentially, and again, we're still looking at ideas, so don't hold me to this, but we've talked about underground storage potentially underneath the parking lot. That's one idea. The other idea is that we do modify the existing pond, which is in this area here. If we do that, the sidewalk along 51st Street, we'd have to raise a portion of that up about 2 feet, which would allow that additional capacity before it would actually come out of the pond. So we're looking at those two things at the moment, trying to determine what is the better scenario. And your last issue or question was in regards to the terracing of the parking. We aren't looking, it is going to be at different elevations. We are not looking at having big retaining walls at this point. We are able to kind of terrace it and not have those. You'll notice it's a little bit hard to pick up here, but there are steps that occur between those. Obviously, there's a slope of grade between the two parking levels, and we are proposing a walkway along with stairs to get to that point. Going back just real quick, I wanted to touch on that pedestrian sidewalk would occur most likely within this area, so that north area of the existing drive. Did that answer all of your questions? Or
yeah, that's part of it. Now the auditorium, will that be that'll be kind of adjoining to the existing cafeteria, I believe? And will they be interacting to the two on the south end there?
Right. So if you think about in that cafeteria, there are currently doors out of the cafeteria. There's also windows into the cafeteria. We are proposing that those openings remain. Again, that's we have to have a firewall there, so you'll notice on the plans there are doors there. But the idea would be that as you have functions occurring at the auditorium, you've got that pre-function space that occurs right within the addition, but you could also go into the cafeteria as well. So it would be available.
With the expanding of the parking spots, is it anticipated will that have alleviate part of the problem for the students in obtaining parking permits, or could it alleviate the problem of having to have students park on Drexel, or some students also may park on Drexel because they don't want to pay the parking fees?
That's a good question for the district.
Well, right now there's an average of about 36 cars that park on Drexel, both north and south of 51st. With our additional parking and the concern we have with parents who pretty much mandate us to allow their kids to drive, the additional spaces should allow us to do that without any off-site parking occurring. That's not to say that kids won't attempt to do that and skirt the fee issue, but I think for the most part it's going to allow us to have those students on site in parking spaces.
Just for the record, that was Superintendent Stephen Patz that was commenting.
Dr. Batts, is there an existing a waiting list that you've always had for parking permits about how long that is?
Yeah, Doug, there is. We have an extensive waiting list every year because we primarily go with seniors, and then we gradually get into the junior class. We take into consideration those kids that have to leave during the course of the day or have working obligations or whatever. So a lot of those potential problems will be alleviated. And it'll probably take up most of our junior class as well that may be driving. Sophomore class, those kids are right on the verge, so I think we're going to be in pretty good shape right now.
And one other question with the moving the practice fields behind the school, is that area clear, or is it a wooded area that's going to have to be open at all for installation of those practice facilities?
Can you go back to one of the aerial views? Maybe I can address the first part of that, Doug. It's, we wanted to have those fields as close to existing facilities as we can. We wanted to stay off that eastern boundary. When we had our listening sessions with the community, that was a concern that was brought up by them in terms of what's all going to go back there. We don't want to infringe on that at all. We are considering fencing to go along that back line, but we are not going to be taking any of those trees or anything out of there. Matter of fact, we won't be doing much of that. There's some grading that will have to take place. There's a big mound there right now to construct those fields and a little bit of fill, but there won't be lighted fields or anything. But that east boundary was a concern expressed to us, and we have every intent, not every intention, we will not violate that by getting too close to that boundary and be disruptive to that neighborhood.
Kind of a rhetorical question to Steve. Thank you, Steve. And that's we talked about this the other day, but and I think the answer is none. But how different is this plan that you're showing us tonight from the plans that you had in the community where you had tens, 20, 30 meetings?
They don't vary at all. You know, the concept as far as what it would look like is the only thing. We expressed to the community, and we did it through survey as well, as the top three priorities are what we've addressed in the referendum. And the way the whole facility is going to be laid out in terms of the PAC, the addition, the classroom space in the front, that's the major area. The interior renovations are pretty extensive to us in terms of programming and everything. But everything that we expressed to the community and got the community input on is exactly what's
okay.
Up here. We didn't change anything.
Thought that was the answer.
With the expansion of the new classrooms, two-story classrooms in the front, what will happen to the existing space on the lower level where you had English and foreign languages down there near the shop rooms? What will happen to that space?
Pretty much that whole interior building, though, is going to be reconfigured. We're changing a lot of things. We want to get adjacencies involved so that all of our math and science areas are somewhat connected, and you know, our art areas and some of those kinds of things. Right now it's pretty disjointed just because of the space we have. But so when we have the new space available to us, it's going to allow us to make a lot of changes internally in terms of the location of what's being offered. And we're actually still working on that.
With the metals, wood shop, autos,
that won't change.
Right. Alderman Olson and Alderman Skransky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mark, could you go to first floor plan? I'm going to give you some free consulting that I can normally charge.
Nice.
The auditorium space, I look at it and I wonder if what consideration has been given to support space around the edges. These, I assume, are classrooms. That's a classroom, and this is a practice room.
Correct.
For band?
These are the music rooms.
Yep.
Along with the support space. This is a storage / shop area, and then this is the stage area.
And then two offices up here.
Those are actually dressing rooms.
Okay. The issue that I see here as a former manager of a facility, I'm not going to say like this, is I can't see any location for support for a play. There's nowhere to house stage pieces, set pieces. Whether they're small or large, there's no access, really, no convenient access to get them on and off the stage that I can see. Of course, all I have is this drawing.
Yeah, that actually does occur back in this space.
I don't want to bog anybody down, but how do you get them from here to here, especially if you've got a full fly?
And
how do you get them through a backdrop piece?
There are overhead doors here, 20-foot overhead doors.
It's not getting the
sure.
solution, but... If you have a backdrop, full width of the stage, how do you get the set pieces in? What I'm saying is you want to consider, if you're going to use this for a theater and not a performing arts center, if you're going to teach drama, this ain't going to do it.
Well, we have the ability to go from the drive outside and literally drive a truck onto the stage, so we have the access and set design areas where Bob was pointing there, the storage area.
Dr. Pass, I'm sorry, I don't see where you would do that.
Bob, will you show them how they would access it?
We've got an access point here for exterior.
Okay.
Okay.
And then again, we've got that access point that goes through onto the stage right here.
All right. You guys keep bringing these up. I'm gonna keep at it. How do you make that left, that right hand turn if you're gonna do that? If you've got a long set piece, I'm not gonna do this now. I have big concerns about that.
Okay.
And we're spending lots of money. Also, I just want to go on record that if you have to use underground temporary storage for stormwater management, I as a taxpayer object to that. I don't think that's a valuable use of taxpayer dollars for an educational facility to have to use underground water detention for stormwater management. That's bad use of funds, in my opinion.
I guess I should just comment that the concept review used to take place at the Plan Commission, and it was basically to get from the Plan Commissioners whether they thought it was a good project or bad project. Don't go down that road. And that was moved to the Common Council so that for streamlining the process so that people and developers could get ideas as quickly as possible. So that's really, this is supposed to be a give and take, and you're supposed to ask us questions about what we think about this, and then we're supposed to ask you, and then hopefully at the end of it, you kind of get a thumbs up or thumbs down as to where we're looking. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'm not so sure I'm 100% objecting to the underground stormwater. I've heard it work, and I think there's been a lot of changes to that, so before we completely nix that idea, maybe some education on how that might work might change some people's minds, so... I don't know, maybe cost, maybe space, maybe land savings, and that aspect might be enough to make that still a possibility. And can you go back to the first, very first layout? This is related to pedestrian access from the road, and right about where Alderman Skronsky said it's there on the far left-hand side of the screen. I'm trying to determine where the walkway would come up this way to connect. Seems like they can walk, kids can walk this way. Is there a walkway going up this way to this part of the parking structure here, or is it only going to be here and up here, and that would be the only way?
Yeah, currently there is not a sidewalk in that location, and we're not necessarily proposing one at this point. So the idea is that we've got the students walking along that sidewalk on 51st Street coming up through this area.
And so this facility here is what?
That is the football and track.
So if I have after-school football and track, and I'm walking from my house over this way, and I want to come into it, is there an alternate walk right there? Right there, but then when it goes here, if I want to go here, I need to go here and walk here and then walk here to get there?
Right now, they just walk up through that parking lot.
Is that a safe way to walk through the middle of a parking lot when you have ability to put something here or here? I'm just trying to think about making the best use of this, because I certainly see kids cutting across here and not going down and walking in this way. So, I mean, if you're going to try to make this pedestrian friendly and safe, something for the parents or children who are coming from this direction should be considered here, I would think. And the other thing is, I read that you were going to be moving this sidewalk that was put in, which might include some of the impact to a wetland over there. And I was noticing here that said you anticipate relocating a portion of the sidewalk, and you would straighten the sidewalk to extend through the wetland. A natural resource special exception will be required to impact any potential natural resource features. And I would add to that, and possibly a DNR permit, since this is not a water-dependent activity, and you would have to do your NR 103 analysis. And I only bring that up because I would really like to see projects that will get their state agency permit approvals that, or at least a letter of concurrence first, so Franklin doesn't become viewed as the responsible party as has been in the past for other projects. So I know we've had that one laid on us a few times, and it's been a state issue and not a city issue. The other thing you mentioned, you were going to do sustainable design aspects, but I haven't really heard any. One of the things that came to mind was this, the Novasem cement, which is supposed to be a lot cheaper, and I didn't know if you'd heard about that, but it might be a cost savings if that was included and would be one of those sustainables. Have you thought about that in your design?
Well, so it's like an impervious concrete.
No, actually it's not. It's just a different way to make cement.
That I haven't heard of.
Okay. It's just something you might want to look up because it's this new way to make cement, and it's supposed to be a lot cheaper, and it's, they call it carbon-free, and so it's, you know, cement's the third largest source of carbon dioxide emissions, and this would be a way to add your...
Yeah, our parking lots are going to be asphalt, just I don't want you to think that that's all concrete.
Okay.
We would have, obviously, the sidewalks would be concrete, the curb would be concrete, but the parking lots would be asphalt.
Okay, so can you speak to any of the things that are actually considered the sustainability, which was mentioned in that?
Sure. So from a sustainability standpoint, you know, we're dealing with really an existing...
Excuse me. Greg, can you hear him?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We are dealing with an existing building, and I'll call them relatively small additions to the building. So from a mechanical standpoint, anything that we do for the additions would be a high-efficiency system. Low-flow plumbing fixtures. We're talking about LED light fixtures for the exterior of the building as well. Occupancy sensors in the rooms to control the lighting, those types of things. I mean, there's just a lot of common sense things that you do from a sustainability standpoint.
Save the school district some money in the long run.
Right. You know, we look at the interior finishes that we use, as far as how do they clean, what kind of chemicals do they use, all those types of things. The recycled content and carpeting that we use and other materials that we use, all of those become factors in what we present to the district.
Okay. On that structure that's going to be here that has a lot of glass, is that something? I'm thinking about heat, I'm thinking about cleaning, I'm thinking about maintenance. Do you see that being a cost-effective structure? I mean, architecturally it might be pleasing, but is it cost-effective in the long run? Is that a sustainable type?
Yeah, the glass that we'll use is a high-efficiency glass. It'll be a tinted glass. So the light that you get within that space, I doubt that you'd need any lights on in that space during the day at all. It'll be a very nice quality light, so you're not going to have hot spots on the floor. And then in the winter, obviously, you're going to be able to get some gain to help heat that space. So it does help that way from a lighting standpoint and from a heating standpoint.
I guess my biggest comments about the design is more pedestrian friendly. I noticed you do have some walkways in here. You know, it seems to be a school that is geared about driving to schools, Dr. Patz had said, and I'm just wondering if there's not a way if maybe it was seen as a little more friendly and pedestrian friendly, that maybe that aspect might change just a little bit.
There is a walk. It's actually not shown on this plan. We don't have it connected up yet. And I can't quite make it out. I think it's about right here. There's a walk that connects up to the neighborhood to the south. There are a lot of students that use that connector.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to maintain that connector. Again, you can't see it yet. We don't have it on the drawing. So the when I was there, at least, a lot of the students seemed to use that connector to get back into the neighborhood.
The fact that those aren't on the drawings makes me stress that much more. Put them on there so we can see the pedestrian.
Yep,
action,
sure.
So.
Kristen, I would also say that safety is our number one concern, too, and I think our students are very, very good. Our biggest problem is parent drop-offs in the morning. They're weaving in and out of buses, they're speeding, they're in a hurry. They pretty much ignore all our signage and everything, so I think the new configuration we have of getting onto the site and where those drop-offs would occur is going to dramatically help our safety issues. The kid access and how they go through the lots is always, we have speed bumps and those kinds of things, but our biggest issue right now is intermingling with the drop-offs and the buses, and we're going to alleviate that by rerouting.
I didn't see any places for bike racks or, you know, any of those features.
Kids don't bring bikes to school.
Well, I know my son would have been able to do it, but
I'm sure we can put some in there.
I think that if you put things up to encourage that, you know, it's not something that they certainly couldn't do here, and you know, it would probably save a lot of your traffic congestion if you encourage a few people. It's just a practice, you know. I know people in other communities that have kids that would close to school that bike frequently into school, so I don't see why we couldn't try to encourage that more here.
But to hopefully try and save you some time, we go in front of the Plan Commission. I'll say what I think the Plan Commissioners are going to say to you and ask you questions. And we're going to be looking for, obviously, the best design, something that's kind of got a wow factor to it. Again, this is the center of our community. They're going to be looking for as much brick as possible. They're going to be looking at what is this effect on the neighbors? How are the neighbors across the street on 51st going to view this? How are the people over on 47th Street going to be viewing this? They're going to be asking you questions about the play fields, and have you had neighborhood meetings with the neighbors? What's the impact? We have the Milwaukee County landscape architect on the Plan Commission. We get down to landscaping. There's going to be a lot of questions. He's probably going to ask you the types of trees that you're going to be putting in there. And he's, good news is he's probably going to be giving you really great advice on the types of plants that will work better than others. So he's really been pretty spectacular on that. We have a manager from MMSD, so expect questions about stormwater management and the parking lot. We have this city engineer that sits on there that will be asking all kinds of questions about the flow of traffic, the amount of traffic, traffic coming out when you have school in session and you have a big event at the auditorium, and how that's all going to be handled. So I think you can expect that. Mr. Ritter, Randy Ritter, is on our Plan Commission. He is a. He tries to ask as much. There he is right now, Mr. Ritter, and Mr. Ritter asks all kinds of very, very detailed questions, which I gladly welcome at the Plan Commission. So, I think we're going to be asking you. So, what other types of schools or buildings have these types of construction materials? If we were to go and look someplace, where would we find a school or a facility that has been constructed recently that's going to look somewhat like the new school? And obviously you're hearing from all of us, it's a big concern with safety, overriding concern, fire suppression systems, in and out access for our police department, for our police personnel and our EMTs, I don't think there's a person in the room that isn't asking the question or thinking about the recent events and how the school and its construction is going to help to make this facility safer for the children. So I think all of those things you can expect. Have you had any neighborhood meetings so far? Or
we had a lot of neighbors that came to our listening sessions.
Okay.
That way.
That's right. You did tell me that the other day. I forgot. One comment, without getting into whether taxes, the public has weighed in on this. This went to referendum. This has been discussed throughout the community. I know that for many years there has been a great want on the part of this community for a auditorium facility where plays can be presented and Broadway. Musicals could take place, or if we have a large overflow crowd, something that's special that we could hold it there. So I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people welcoming this to the community. Last piece is that when we are dealing with corporations that are thinking about coming into the community, the first questions they want to ask is about the school system, which is, it's always been my pleasure to say we have one of the best in the country, and it's been proven time and time again. And they'll probably ask where the school is and want to take a look at it. So it means a lot to the community, this facility.
Auditorium. Does this mean that you'll finally be able to have the graduation classes there? It still will be adequate for that?
No. We get far too many people at the sports complex. We never do. We get about four times more people at the graduation than we do. And there was even some talk about, you know, having a work phone in the cafeteria on video monitor. So people want to be there right in the facility. So we would have to build a 3,000-seat auditorium.
Alderman Skronsky?
Okay, I have a question on the auditorium. What's the seating capacity?
Approximately 850.
Is that with a balcony or without a balcony?
Without.
Without a balcony. 850?
Correct.
And no balcony. Okay. On the Volk Air education area, are you expanding that or are you leaving it alone?
It's staying the way it is right now. But
Why aren't you expanding that?
Because that was not involved in phase one of this project. Phase two will involve looking at our tech ed areas and looking at additional space for them.
Well, don't you feel that's an important aspect of this industry and today's world?
Absolutely.
Then why wasn't it looked at? And why
Because the community identified the three main priorities, and they were classroom space, the auditorium, and the refurbishing of the buildings, and so on and so forth.
A lot of industry and a lot of people are looking for that type of personnel to come out of it, and education and students. Not all students go to college for 4 years, and there's a lot of job opportunities that are needed with people that can get vocational education, 2 year scholarships, and things of that nature. And I think our school should be looked at very seriously about that. Yes?
Yeah, we have one of the best around right now, and it's right now our only limitation is space. We work a lot. We have quite a partnership going on in terms of partnerships in our business areas. We have a lot of the engineers that work in our robotics program and so on, and we've got some outstanding people in those programs. But as time goes on, our goal is to expand it, even look at off-site if we had to have a different facility. It would be a vision of that. But we realize that it's important because we have a lot of kids that are not four-year college type of kids. They just want to go and get in the workforce. And more importantly, they have a lot of skills that the workforce is looking for right now. So we're incorporating a lot of that into our engineering areas as well as our tech areas, so we think we're making progress in that area.
I sure hope so. The next thing is the is this building going to be LEED certified when you get done with it?
It will not be.
Are you striving for that, or what is the reason that you're not?
Well, LEED certified requires dollars, basically, to make that happen. It's a plaque on the wall that you're buying. But from a sustainability standpoint, we are using the LEED checklist and going through that. So the building could be certified if we wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. But again, it's dollars that you have to spend to get the plaque on the wall.
Well, I think loans you're spending, what is it, $24 million on this particular project? I think for the efficiency, the economics of it should be very prominent within the minds, because all the citizens are paying for supporting that building in the school, and as efficient as that building can be, it's going to be very important, because you have approximately 22 door entrances and things of that nature and windows and everything. I think that's a very important aspect.
Yeah, you can do a sustainable building without being LEED certified, and that's what we're doing.
But as long as you're striving for that, because that'll be a very important part of the community, which is paying and supporting this. Any energy efficiency is going to be very important. The next thing is, where's your HAP equipment going? On a roof?
Well, so the existing building is basically staying on the same system. The auditorium and the addition, we are going to be connecting up to some extent to the existing, but there are going to be air handlers that we're bringing in to the building. We're looking at an air handler area back in right in this area. And we've talked about, we're still working with our engineers as far as where those air handlers go for the auditorium. We're looking at an area potentially back between these two additions. We've talked about that. We've talked about an area back in the house area, if you will, where we showed you those dressing rooms above that space. So we're toying around with a few different ideas as far as where does it make the most sense to put those units.
Yeah, because you're going to have several units in order to accomplish the comfort is and the energy efficiency is of the
right.
building.
I believe right now we're gravitating again towards this area and then back in this area for the PAC.
Are you updating any of the present equipment while this work is
being done? Some of it is being updated. Some of it's already been updated.
Okay. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Do you have any questions for us or Dr. Patz, anything that you want to ask us?
No, we thank you for all your comments, and there were some questions for me that I've written out, too. We'll certainly take those back and we'll come
back. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Milzer. It's always a pleasure to see you. Really appreciate your patience coming in tonight and sharing this the centerpiece for the community. And thank you for all the time and effort that you put in for this. I hope you're feeling better, too, the superintendent. And I also wanted to, I was remiss in not talking about the fine teacher that passed away. I was at the funeral yesterday, too, and it almost appeared that it was like three communities turned out. There were so many people, and I had the opportunity of walking while I was in line with his brother and told us many of the stories, and it's quite a guy, and it was glad to see that all the people and all the kids that had gone through his classes were there. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alderman Solomon? Okay. For record, Alderman Solomon is stepping down. Thank you, and if you need anything further, it's Mr. Cloutier is leading the charge here. If you work through Mr. Deedle or through my office, if you need anything, call us anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'll go back to the regular order of business, and that's item G1, Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail Development Project. I don't know if there's no objection. I hope we could take item 14 in sync with this so we don't have to wait later. Okay. Mr. Deedle, your motion.
This is the possibly the last step in the grant process.
Just 1 second. So.
1 and
14. 1 and 14. I just, so we can hear you. Okay, Mr. Deedle?
This technically is the last step in the grant process. This is the actual contracts or agreements. As you may recall, there have been a couple of earlier opportunities. Common Council had to accept a preliminary grant at one point and then to apply in the first place. So DNR has four of these two grants. One is straight from the stewardship fund, one is a pass-through of federal funds. Two separate grants combined would be about 50% of the total project cost. And again, this is for the Pleasant View Trail extending from the Victory Creek subdivision in the south to Pleasant.
Do you have a map or anything for the public so the public can follow along? I mean, we all have maps in our packets, but people in the audience... maybe in the future, let's make sure that those are up there.
Here, I can make the motion out of this.
All right. Alderman Wilhelm?
I make the motion to accept the State of Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Recreation Needs Grant Agreement for the National Recreation Trails Grant Program and the grant contract for the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program Acquisition and Development of Local Parks Grant Program for the amount of $51,720. And I should have inserted in the National Recreation Trails Grant Program, I should have inserted the amount of $45,000.
Second.
And to direct the authorized signature for return back to the DNR prior to the March deadline.
That's my second.
All
right. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
I voted against the preliminary acceptance of the preliminary, maybe we'll get grants, because nobody clearly explained to me where we're getting the balance of money. to where we get the balance of money.
No final decision was made, as far as I know, but I believe we're planning on moving the park on that.
So.
Alderman Skaronski?
I agree with Alderman Olson. Where's the balance coming from? Not that we want to fund something, and I want to compliment the staff and the committee for doing a real good job on this, but we sure as hell don't want to go ahead and start doing something and being half done. So I would like that question answered too.
Okay. Mr. Liberta, do you feel confident in answering that, or would you prefer that we delay this and have Mr. Patterson or Paul get back? You have two outstanding grants that most communities would give their eye teeth for. But
right.
It was budgeted anticipating that the impact fee money will be available. We're still waiting for the study from Rupert Milkey that will enable us to ensure we can definitively use those. But the study is being set up such that we incorporate everything into allowable use for the impact fee that was in the corp. So provided these trails are anticipated in the corp, there should be every opportunity that those grant funds, impact fee funds, will be able to be used up to the percentage that the statutes allow. Until we see exactly how that parses out between the impact fee for current population and the expanded population, which is how the impact fee works. I can't guarantee that will be all, but the preliminary expectation was that it would be able to fill in the other portion, such that a worst case scenario is that your percentage from existing fund balance would likely be a small portion.
Alderman Skaronski on the floor.
I'll yield.
Right. Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
Well, as one of the person who worked very diligently on the grant, I believe when I wrote it, conditioned upon the application of the grant was a requirement from the DNR to prove that we would have the money. And there was wording in there that we would match the money with impact fees, and the impact fees were available for this project. That is a grant that came before this council, and the council voted to approve before we even put the application in. So at that time, we had said that we had the funding, and that was a condition of the grant to even apply for the grant. And so if we need to go back and pull that out and look at the language in order for us to put that in there, I think you'll find that this council did say they had funds available at some, it didn't say exactly, I don't think, all levels of it, but it did tell the DNR that we were willing to do this if we put the application in.
Alderman Olson, and Alderman Solomon.
I've been doing this 13 years, and every time something like this came up where it wasn't, in my view, properly documented, and just not properly documented, you don't know where the balance of the money's coming from. As much as I want to vote yes on this, we don't know where we're getting the rest of the money. And yes, we're talking about impact fees, but what about the balance? And we don't have a legal opinion as to whether the impact fee. Do this stuff in advance. You're asking us to spend taxpayer dollars here. I'm going to, unfortunately, not support this motion because it's just not, as you would say, Mr. Mayor, right fresh.
Alderman Solomon?
Okay, the section from, let's see what this street is.
Bridge View.
Bridge View. All the way up to and inclusive to where the trail leaves the Pleasant View Park. Okay. Up Bridge View, all the way down across the bottom, all the way up, I'd say halfway through the park, Kristen, about right there. That will all be matched with impact fees. The rest of it, from the middle of the park up to the Marquette, okay, is going to have to come from capital expenditures. That's what we had talked about before. Because the section that's being paid for with impact fees is in the corp plan. Are there any questions on that now?
Yeah, I
got
one.
Go ahead.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I reviewed the corp plan extensively when I was applying for the application, and the trails, talk about trails, because I worked with Meehan when he wrote this. They have trails through here, trails that are suggested here. I can go home right now and pull out every tab in that corp plan that does not say that this part would be excluded from that, and that's why I wrote that into the grant. I talked with the finance officer about fundings. I talked with these people and talked to them how they paid $6,000 in impact fees, and they've been waiting for this trail. And the grant application does say it would come from impact fees. And if we're not going to take this up to the school, and we're going to take it to an empty park and not get the people here that want to get to the school, which was what the whole Safe Routes to School planning grant was, which was what all the meetings were at Clare Meadows with the seniors and the neighborhoods. We're diverting the whole situation of the whole grant process. This is an empty park right now. Why would you take this up to here and stop it? I mean,
I'm just telling you, the court plan doesn't have the top section of the court plan.
Alderman Wilhelm has the floor.
Well, I think that...
Dig it out.
Alderman Wilhelm has the floor.
I like I said, Mayor, I did review this extensively, and if anyone needs me to provide that factual data where it says that, I would be more than happy to do that. And I think I even ran it past the city attorney at the time when I was looking through that, and I think I talked to several other people about the language in there. It's meant to be flexible. The court plans are suggested routes, and it's not set in stone. If we set every plan in stone, then the whole Oak Leaf Trail done by the county couldn't happen, because they move that trail whenever they have an opportunity and they can't get around a property, they move it. That means it would never qualify for any funding. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And you know what? I have a feeling I'm going to be up 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to type up every one of those sections. I'll put them off, and I will be sending them to the council members for their information.
Just before I recognize Alderman Scrancy, I believe the motions that are here actually recognize if you're going to accept the grant, you're basically committing to the funding for it. Whether you have the funding in front of you today or not, this has been discussed at great lengths. It's been part of the budget process. So, Alderman Scrancy.
I thought Alderman Wilson had his hand up first.
No,
let me ask the question.
I recognized you first.
Yeah, Alderman Wilhelm, when you said about the seniors, was there a walk available for the seniors at the Nuns' place that they could come through their property and into this park? Was that available? No?
Answer that,
Mayor. Well, address the chair. Mayor. What would you like?
Is there a path availability from the seniors at St. Clair's to this
I don't know.
Trail.
I can ask. Well, when we have the planning manager.
I believe not all the way yet. If you look on those aerial photographs, one way to go would be through the park, the undeveloped city park. The trail's not there yet, and we do have a sidewalk on Evergreen, so you need to push the trail through the existing park, connect to Evergreen, and finish off the sidewalks at 51st. Eventually, yes.
Alderman Scrancy, you have the floor.
Yeah, because I think that would be an important part, because the elderly in that area would really like that and appreciate utilizing those trails, and definitely they would be off 51st Street and give a nice environmental area in order to walk.
Well, just to give definition to what we have in front of us, we have two items, item G1 and 14, and that's the subject matter that you have in front of you for consideration tonight. The question was raised about the funding, and again, unless somebody's going to disagree, I think if you move to approve this, you're in essence moving to find the funding for the grant. Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilmer.
Mr. Mayor, again, I really would like to support this. The
problem we have is a little time constraint. The grant letters are dated February 4th, and yet we received them on the 13th and the 18th. So I don't know, they got a problem with the post office in Madison, but we've got 30 days to approve these things, which means March 3rd would be the last day. Because I want to support this, I would like to see us table this, and I don't see, unless we call a special meeting, or staff calls the state and says, listen, you guys, you knocked 15 days off of our 30-day time period. I'd like to see a fiscal note on where we're coming up with the rest of the money, plain and simple. I don't know why it wasn't included originally, but once I see that, if I'm comfortable with that, it says it's in the budget, we've got the money, man, I'm in, because we've been talking about this forever. But to sit here and say some of it's coming from here and some of it's coming from there just doesn't work. We have a fiscal responsibility to our constituents, 5 pending aldermen here, and this needs to be laid out, and it's not. So we can vote on it tonight, and I'll vote no, or we can put our act together and do it.
Well, there is some urgency. You contact me so we can get item 14 on because of
that
March. Alderman Wilhelm?
Question for Ms. Liberta or someone who knows the answer. How much money do we have in impact fees?
$3.5 million,
yeah,
give or take.
And how much of that money needed to be used up by, 2010, I think it was?
No, we're in compliance with the deadlines for when money...
Because we asked for an extension.
But
we did have money that...
But we do have expenditures in the park area that need to be spent within the coming year.
And we have a comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, correct?
Yes.
Comprehensive outdoor recreation plan is a guideline, or is it...
It's a guideline.
It's a guideline. Trails have been outlined in the guideline for the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, I think
yes.
We can all agree on. Okay. So would there be a reason why a trail that would be on a comprehensive outdoor recreation plan that would qualify for impact fees, which we have over $3 million that some of it needs to be used, would not qualify? And would there be a reason why this council would have passed a grant application committing that they were going to match the funds for a grant that already went in, that was already application went in saying that. We got the grant contract award back saying, and the mayor already sent that back saying we would take the money and we would match the money. Now we are on the last step of taking the agreement on the two steps we already pushed forward, and now the question, we can't figure out where the money comes from? It just seems like there's an obstacle here that somebody wants to give a brief about. And to answer Alderman Skaronski's question, the senior portion of the planning and the Safe Routes to School plan that was adopted by this council and became part of the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation or the Master Plan included this, and the senior portion was the sidewalk with the community development block grant money that goes up to Minnesota and then comes down into the subdivision that way. That's the current senior access to the school, which would be a complete loop. And this access for Marquette ties subdivisions with over 5,000 people together to not only get to a school, a grade school, but the high school, because you can now get from here all the way down and access the Oakley Trail. This is a regional trail that you're talking about. We can't seem to figure out where the funds are. We have $3 million in impact fees. I guess I'm really puzzled why we would push forward two earlier aspects of the grant and then come to this stage.
Alderman Taylor had his hand up, so I know Ms. Liberta wanted to answer the question.
Actually, I have, I've made the motion. I believe there's been a second.
Right.
There has.
And I was going to call the question, but I'll allow Alderman Taylor. It looks like he has something.
Well, I think.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. the first time I spoke tonight. Quiet today.
Sometimes it's good.
Right. Well, yeah, sometimes it is good. Saving my voice maybe for this. But, I mean, the reality is that the reason we're here on items 1 and 14 is because we already approved to match this grant. As simple as that. We did this, I don't remember when we did it, but we went through the process. I know we've had this issue in the past, and before I got here, we said, let's go out for grant money, and then when we get it, then we don't want to match it and things die. I've heard that criticism before I even got elected to this body. So the reason we're here is simply that we gave approvals for us to apply for this grant, knowing that we'd have to match it. And that's what we're doing tonight. Everything else, I think, is just a waste of time. I'm calling the question.
Question has been called. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, clerk, please take a roll.
Alderman Olson?
No.
Alderman Selleyman?
No.
This is not calling the question?
Yeah.
Alderman Wheeler?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky?
I'll vote aye because I think it's an important trail.
Right.
And I'll go along with
it. Four ayes, two noes, ayes have it, motion passes. On the main motion, Madam Clerk, please take a roll. I'll ask for a roll call.
Yeah,
might
as well.
Alderman Skronsky?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman
Wilmer?
Aye.
Alderman Solomon?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
No.
Five ayes, one no, ayes have it, motion carries. All right. We need a round of applause, or?
No, you need $96,720 is what you need.
I will take it out of DPW.
Okay. Item G2? No, we did that. And G3. Status report and presentation of a proposed minor amendment to the Plan Development District number 37 for consideration and potential scheduling of a special meeting. I'll just kind of set the stage. I think the gentleman should maybe come forward up here and take a chair, introduce themselves. Mr. Deedle, you should stay. Oh, and for the record, Alderman Solomon came back to the meeting about 7:32 exactly. And Alderman Wilhelm, for the record, has just stepped out for a second. So just to kind of set the stage, and you can all tell me if I'm incorrect on this. I got a call the other day from the good people over at The Rock, and they said that they would like to come and talk to me. It was Mr. Zimmerman, I believe Mr. Marceau, Mr. Johns is also in attendance. It's a young gentleman right here. And I think there was one other gentleman in the back. And we sat down and we met with them, and they said that they needed to get some decisions from the council as quickly as possible because they need to, they've sort of decided that what they had brought to you in the past just is not a viable option. It's not as good a plan as the one they would like to present to you tonight. That is more in harmony with a sports setting and a ski setting. So you have the walk coming from the baseball fields, and then you have the other walks that are going towards the slopes. And this is more of a, well, this is a outdoor facility that would be serving food and beverage. That is these types of, they're called an umbrella bar. You should have pictures in your packet tonight where these types of facilities are in place at ski resorts and a few other places. What they also said is that they wanted to build a park-like structure around these facilities with a open fireplace so that families and participants in the sports would have a place to gather and to recreate. And as we all know, the facility over there is really coming along quite nicely. The baseball fields are almost in place. The fencing is in place. The grading has taken place. The sign that I so much loved that was on 76th Street on the wheels, the white sign that I had to look at for all those years, is gone.
Sorry.
People are coming up to me and saying, wow, what's going on up there? There's a lot of stuff that's really moving along. So there was some urgency. We were trying to figure out a way that we could try and provide them an answer, if you want to provide them an answer, and so that they can move forward with their plans, because time is of the essence. Is that, did I do okay, Mr. Marceau?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
And if you could you please introduce yourself and others that may speak tonight?
Certainly. Mayor, Common Council members, thank you for having us this evening. Like the mayor had started, we are here this evening asking for a minor amendment to our existing PDD that we have. It's still in the area. Can you go back to this to show this photo for everyone? That's up there and home.
Which one do you want to get?
Oh, it is. Can they see that?
They can see what's on the table, if that's...
Sure. No, that's sufficient. This is the same site plan you guys have seen in the past, and the area that we're talking about is where the bar-restaurant plateau is, where the old BMX track was, up east of the existing chalet in that area.
Can you hear him back there? Okay, thanks.
Sorry.
That's right.
So the area where the existing or the old BMX track was is the area that we're asking for the minor amendment to the existing plan. And the existing plan is what you guys can see here, and the idea, the future concept that we're asking for the amendment for is what's up on the screen to your right. And we have brought with Tom Johns, the landscape architect who's been helping us bring this vision to life out on the site, and I wanted him to explain a little bit more of the concept of what the idea is and what we're looking for. Then I'll come back with the specifics on the product that we're looking at putting in there. So, Tom, if you wouldn't mind discussing your idea and your vision here a little bit.
If you could, please introduce yourself, name and address for the record.
I'm Tom Searle, landscape architect here on Delta.
By the way, the tree you sold me many years ago is still flourishing. So. Thank you.
I hear that a lot. It's very interesting how this project has matured. When I was introduced to it this past summer, I noticed a lot of disconnect. In other words, there were ball fields, there were soccer fields, there were chalets, there were skiing, and it didn't connect. And Mr. Zimmerman and I had many conversations, and I said, you know, it's not just baseball, it's not just one thing, this place needs to connect. So we kept discussing it, and it always ended up that the best piece of real estate on that property is where this bar restaurant is going to be. And it was always a shame that it was going to be just a parking lot. So he asked us, Greg and I, to come up with a concept that would be more favorable to the people that use it. And as winter came along, and the snow and the kids came, and we saw them walking the property more, we just saw people coming with their dogs and walking the property more, it became very apparent that the ball field needed to connect with this plateau, and as you can see, it's coming from the right there on the drawing. That material is going to be the exact same material as an outfield, which is like a Merrimack. It's a red crushed gravel that comes out of a mountain area of Wisconsin. That's what the outfields are going to be, the warning track. So we're going to carry that up the hill. And then this area about right here.
If you could you take the microphone with you? Because we
have here, Tom. Why don't you use the
This area, about right here, is going to become a very, very large sandbox. A very, very large sandbox where a mom, the kids, they can play a very passive area, yet they can watch the ball, because these are the best ball fields right here. And it'll connect with what we've created as a park. This is going to be a mowed lawn, again, very passive. Mr. Zimmerman has talked about having recreational instructions for kids, just trying to maybe see what and how it's going to be used the best, and yet still have an area for the parents to go to enjoy themselves with beverage and food. He's thinking about Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like a fish fry, pig roast on Saturday night, maybe a buffet in the morning on Sunday as ball games are going on, you can enjoy a meal up there and a drink. We also found that the tubers, the kids in the wintertime that are using this area for tubing, have been by far the most, how would I put it?
Active, and it's one of the most vibrant parts of what we got going on there right now.
So they asked that we connect that. And so you see, this is a seawall. This is a wall that's only about 27 inches tall. It's just a barrier. It's not really meant for anything except just to enclose it. But there's an opening there where the kids coming in off the snow, or in the summertime, the bicyclists, will be able to come off the trail, because this is the trail, and enjoy a fire, a place to sit outside. The umbrella part of it came where Mr. Zimmerman and his wife Bridget were in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. They have one of these. And there was so much activity in and amongst that umbrella structure that he said, this is perfect for my vision of what's going to happen on the hill. First of all, this is seen coming up on 76th Street, Rawson Avenue. It's just going to be a spectacular view for everyone to see it. It's going to create a lot of what is that to go up and see it, where I think a brick structure would have just been another building that wouldn't cause the interest that this is going to cause. So we pursued it. It's called, it's built in Austria. It's called MySill. That's the name of the company. And Greg has a lot of, he's done a lot of the information on how it's built and why it'll work so well on the site.
Do you have any other renderings or slides that would show us the layout of the structure itself? I mean, instead of just an overhead. I mean, we have things in our packet that we have, but the public, I'm not sure, has anything.
Certainly, I was going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, Alderman Olson and Alderman Skrowski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate this presentation, but a question to the staff. Why is this a minor amendment that's occupying all of these people? I mean, why are we here? Why isn't this approved?
What was approved in the plans is a restaurant slash bar in a typical house structure. The PDD does have allowance for staff, myself and the city engineer in particular, to make minor deviations from what's in the approved plans. Staff determined that this was larger than a minor deviation, and then the focus is changing from a bar, from a restaurant slash bar to a bar slash restaurant, and the structure is significantly different. So it is properly before you. There may be alternatives for how to bring this to fruition, but it's in front of the common council property.
So you know why I brought it here. It's kind of, and this is just my words, it's from a champs to this, and it's a whole different layout. Alderman Skronsky was next, and then Alderman Wilma.
If I see the pictures in that, this is nothing more than an umbrella with no walls around it, correct?
You're
it's
close.
An open 365 degrees.
You're close. If you look at the picture that's up there now, that's a version that this would more mimic, where those are glass walls surrounding the perimeter of the tent area. So the roof is basically, yes, it's a big umbrella tent.
It's like a thatched roof.
Yeah, very similar. It's a fabric covered, but it is just basically a big umbrella like you'd have on your patio. And the one that you're looking up there now does have glass walls. They are lit. They are able to be heated. The panels do open up, so when the season is correctly, you can take the panels down, or you can just open up every other one to let air through that way.
Well, I'm familiar with it. I just had the occasion to go down to Puerto Vallarta, and the Hard Rock Cafe has one very similar to this, and so does the Paradise Village. So I'm well aware of what you're putting up here. It'll be extremely attractive and very nice, and there's a lot of activities that can go into that. So
They serve pina coladas there.
I was going to share about. No, I
brought it. The working.
Yeah, yeah. I, that was a working vacation that I had down there. I was working on that pina colada. This type of structure is really desired by people, especially the openness, the airiness of it, and it's really attractive. So I'm all for it. You guys are doing a good job, and you as a landscape architect, I think of Mr. Zimmerman and yourself, that's great. This is the kind of things that we need in the community that really set it off. So nice going.
Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, if it was open right now, it'd be my destination after this meeting. Well, we all knew from reading the environmental documents that it's going to be a kind of a challenging site. And I'd really like to give you credit for thinking outside of the box and coming up with something that will work, and I'm fully for this. And I really personally don't see the need for the joint meeting. I think the Plan Commission will be able to handle this, and if there's anything, they can bring it back to us. I'd just like to see them move forward with the Plan Commission.
Well, thank you.
Alderman Schmidt?
Studying this picture that you had in this packet, this seemed that one that you just had up there looked a lot more inviting. I hardly envision this in existing right now in our weather that we have here. This is open, but if you have glass closed walls that can be opened, that certainly seems to be much more compatible to our climate here if you want to think it's a year-round facility. And I agree with Alderman Wilhelm that I think if we're willing to, I don't know if there's any opposition to this, but I would like to see us move forward on making this amendment tonight so we don't have to follow through with another special meeting.
Mr. City Attorney, you want to weigh in on that?
Yes, sir.
For the procedural request within the packet materials is because this is an ordinance amendment. In fact, that the Plan Commission may determine that it's minor. Simply alleviates the need for a public hearing. It all goes to time. So this came up earlier in writing. So the thought was have it before the council, but the council would have to ultimately adopt an ordinance following the Plan Commission recommendation. And based on the comments I've been hearing, that ordinance drafting for the amendment for tomorrow is. Plan Commission would recommend that the council would have to act on the actual ordinance, which there is no ordinance.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I would support this. Unfortunately, I have to get out of the state on Thursday. I don't need it. Greg, I think you know us. If you get the quantity up here saying it's important, whether you had the ordinance or not, I'm sure you'd be willing to go ahead.
Well, that's part of the consideration. It is made in Austria. It's a long lead time item to get this up and running by springtime, early summer when the baseball season starts. Is why we asked for the special consideration to get up in front of you guys early to see what the flavor would be on this. If it's something we need to order at this point or if we're safe at that.
So you could wait till March the 5th for the ordinance?
Yes.
What you're really looking for tonight, what you wanted, when the bat phone went off, it's Marceau. you just want to know if there's going to be backing for this from the council. So far, I'm seeing total backing.
You are correct.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Taylor.
Well, Greg and I have been on the phone three times in the last 3 or 4 days. My last comment to him was that I'd like the one that's on a stilt here. He could put that in my
near the garden.
Yeah, I have a
Tom's
circle
over here.
I have a circle there, and that would fit just about perfect there, you know, for about 10, 12
I can see
people.
You're into a landscape.
we talked about a facility with bathrooms, kitchen facilities, and that sort of thing. I think he's got that pretty well worked out. I do believe that this is a wow factor. And again, along with my cohorts here, thank you for thinking outside the box. Let's give it a shot, see if it works.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, we all know this is a very complicated site. I always say, what in Franklin is the destination? Why do people come to Franklin? We don't have this destination location. And the Rock is now going to be that. There's nothing like what you're proposing tonight anywhere that we can get to close, I don't believe. So it is obviously unique. So I'm in full support of it, but it's just going to have to wait to the next regularly scheduled common council meeting because I'm not available on Thursday as well. So, but you have my support. Nothing would change right now and then. I mean, you're hearing the same for the rest of the aldermen, so you could go and do what you need to do. My recommendation. And
Alderman Skronsky, do you have
votes on the 5th?
Thank you.
Do you have any other?
No, I'm saying I'll go along with Jim, but go ahead, get going.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I just need to say that I did check with the city attorney regarding if I would have a conflict of interest. He has said that I do not have one, and I will be voting on this when it comes forward in a positive way.
A quick question to you, Greg, and that's that during the course of the conversation, I think this gentleman here said that it's going to be possible to view the baseball games that are going to be going on from the sandbox and from the okay.
Yeah, the main location for this is going to sit right up on the top of the northwest or northeast corner of that plateau, right where the restaurant was going to be proposed for it. It's still view of the baseball games, the view of the woods in the north in the fall, and still have a view of the west of the ski hill.
Well, and it goes to, the council, myself, staff trying to work with you to get this done. It's a matter of, credibility, and is this going to really take off? And you shared some things at the meeting with me, I think, that something like 800 players have already been signed up for the leagues. Or?
Yeah, that's right. Already we have over 800 players, seven tournaments.
So the baseball diamonds are going to be filled, so people are going to be able to sit up there and watch the game. So.
No, it is going very well.
Okay. That's good news. Alderman Solomon?
When you get this closer to the actual building site, the mayor and I would like reserve seats on one side. Okay? Thank you.
No problem.
By the way, if my voice isn't there, I said that you would sing the national anthem. So. All right. You have everything you need, Mr. Johns?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mr. Earle. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
I didn't mean to
Oh, no. I know you would never do that.
I've got other ways.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next item. Do you need a motion, though, don't you? No.
No.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. Let's see. G4, resolutions opposing conditions restrictions for the approval of special use for 42-unit residential apartment use upon property located at approximately. There's a motion
second.
To approve. It's been seconded under discussion. Alderman Olson.
Although it's not part of the action, it is in the write up here. There's some changes in condition 8 and additional condition 10, but it appears that condition 8 has already been changed. I'm wondering if condition 10 is.
Condition 10 was struck. That was replacing the final.
All right, motion on the floor is in second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G5, resolution authorizing officials to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District for the private property infiltration inflow elimination of South 36th Street. Alderman Wilhelm.
Motion to adopt resolution authorizing officials to execute an intergovernmental agreement with Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District for the private property infiltration and inflow PI elimination on 36th Street between Missouri Avenue and West Madison Boulevard, and authorize staff to accept the extension of unit cost before the PI on South 36th Street.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Schmidt. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G6, Alderman Wilhelm.
Motion to adopt the resolution authorizing officials to accept an intergovernmental agreement with Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District for the private property infiltration and inflow PI Elimination on South 37th Place between West Boston Avenue and West Madison Boulevard, and authorize staff to go out for bids to relay and or reline 31 private laterals, and to disconnect the foundation drains of 11 homes located on 37th Place between West Boston Avenue and West Madison Boulevard.
Second. Been moved and seconded by Alderman Solomon. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G7, Alderman Wilhelm.
Motion to adopt the resolution authorizing officials to execute an engineering services agreement with Vizu Sewer for the private property closed circuit television and dye water flooding of laterals in Rawson Home Subdivision, South 36th Street, south from West Missouri Avenue to West Madison Boulevard.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded by Alderman Taylor. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Oh, Mr. Bennett.
I know we voted on this already. Do you want a brief description of
what
we're
going to do?
No.
I don't. 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it.
Quit while you're ahead, Jack.
We've seen it before.
Item G8, motion to authorize staff to advertise for bids for 2013 local street improvement program. Is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Wilhelm. Alderman Olson.
For Mr. Bennett, if I may, Mr. Mayor, you've got a section of Putes Road, and according to the map at our places, that's for 2014.
Excuse me.
That's in our 5-year capital. That still has to be. This is just for this year's local road program. That's a suggestion for our future.
Because why would we redo a section of Putes Road when we're interested in rebuilding in a few more years anyway? So okay.
It's a placeholder that will probably be moved.
That's for somebody else to worry about. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Right, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G9, resolution to amend the civil service system personnel administration program, which addresses the promotional career path exception for engineering technician 1 to engineering technician 2.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
That's with the notice and notations that you see.
Okay. So noted. So noted. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G10, resolution to amend the civil service system personnel administration program for the employee handbook.
So moved as summarized in the attachment to G12.
Is there a second to the motion? Second. It's been moved and seconded. For those in the audience that may wonder why this is going so quickly, many of these items went through the personnel committee and other committees of the Common Council. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G11, I just do that. A resolution to amend the Civil Service System Personnel Administration Program, the Employee Handbook, to incorporate benefit language relative to employees in the Teamsters bargaining unit following the expiration of their labor agreement on 1/1/13 and relative to sick leave accruals for non-represented employees.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded by two of the members of the Personnel Committee. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Motion to approve job description revisions for positions in the library, engineering, and municipal court, and for the reclassification of the court clerk position, Mr. Alberto.
There's a memo at your spot to point out that 3 listed for the library, the supervisor positions, should not be included in the motion.
This memo?
That memo. Okay. And then the personnel committee last night recommended 5 or 6 changes that are all noted there. So I would suggest that the requested motions at the bottom simply add the statement, including the recommendations that set forth in the director of administration's memo dated February 19th.
So you're asking for 3 separate motions?
Yes, that way we deal with each of the...
Is there a motion to approve the revisions to the library job descriptions listed above in G12? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 2, motion to approve the position descriptions for court clerk, deputy court administrative assistant, and confidential municipal court administrative assistant, and to approve the reclassification of the court clerk to the same wage grade as a deputy court administrative assistant.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 3, motion to approve the revisions to the Engineering Tech 1 and Engineering Technician 2 position description.
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. And again, for the benefit of the people in the audience, the reason that this is going so smoothly is because there was a whole lot of work done at the Personnel Committee, and I'd personally like to thank the members of the Personnel Committee for their hard work. Item, and Mr. Liberta, thank you as usual for your good, solid, perfect work. Item, you know, my Irish. Item G13, budget preparation timetable for the 2014 budget.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Mr. Liberta.
I would only request that we be allowed to add on the bottom of that a note that says subsequent actions that affect the common council's regular meeting schedule may impact this calendar. Often you get to fall and you move some of your meetings around so that we don't have to come back and revisit this if you move meetings.
Alderman Olson.
Well, you know, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to see this extended a little bit.
Are you having second thoughts about walking away? I mean,
is there a motion on the floor? I think there is, yes.
I would look for one to include that note on it.
Yes, I second it, Your Honor.
With any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. G14, we did. Let's move on to licensing. Alderman Solomon.
Survey. Approve with a letter and correction on the application. She's got to come in and make a correction on the application when she picks up her license, please. Greer approve. Herrick approve. Stallman approve. St. Martin's of Tours School approve.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman Olson, did you want to make any?
You should all come to this dinner tomorrow.
Sweet.
And the fundraiser is when is it?
March.
March.
All right, we got to get back to the record here. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Have before you a list of vouchers dated February 19th, 2013.
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay. Moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skaramski.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the net payroll dated February 8th, 2013. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaramski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
We can't go in and vote again.
Duh.